we're going. And Camila will give you a report of where we've been. And then you can have a little bit of our story that way also. So we've been on the Africa region for the past 5 years in Cape Verde and Equatorial Guinea, and we are just transitioning now to the Eurasia region in Luxembourg. So Luxembourg is a very small country located between Belgium, France, and Germany. And you can go ahead and start. The pictures here will give you a little view of Luxembourg. And I want to tell you a story about Antonio. So Antonio is originally from Cape Verde, and he arrived to Luxembourg for work. He's a computer software developer. And as he began searching for the church, he did not find a Nazarene church there. So he felt the Lord leading him to pull a group of like-minded people together, and they planted the Nazarene church there in Luxembourg. The church is now registered there in Luxembourg, and it is growing now with 17 members. And the members here that you see in the pictures here are in the middle of community outreach, and also you can see that they're worshiping together in the park. They do not have a building to worship in yet, so they are worshiping in the parks, sometimes online. And then now they're working on renting a building in order to worship together inside the building because of the winter months coming. So that's currently what they're working on. So they are reaching out to their communities in the different ways that they can do that as a church. So you'll see some events such as kayaking, camping. They had some climbing that they did. But while we were there, we were part of some of the activities that they have. Another great community outreach that they have going right now is a coding class for children. So Antonio's using his expertise in computers and offering a computer class to kids in the community. So he's really excited about that. I think we have like 13 or 14 kids in the class now, which offers us an opportunity to speak to the families when they drop off the kids for the class, and also meets a need of the children in the community. We're really excited too because Kyle has been through part of that coding class in his own studies in school. So he is joining Antonio in that class. So he's been helping while we were there, and when we go back, he'll join as part of the arrangement of the class too. So we're really excited that he's able to get into ministry that way. So the church there is, as you can imagine, in a country in Europe, very different from where we've been. The traditional way of sharing the gospel is not working. It's not the plan for the future of the church. So they're having to be very creative in how they reach out to the community and just come alongside the community and meet the needs of the community and discipleship and relationships with the people. So they're doing a great job already. Antonio's leading the church well, and the Luxembourg church is the newest work of the Church of the Nazarene globally. So the Luxembourg church is the 164th world area. It's a pioneer district, and they're just getting started. So we're really excited to see what the Lord has for us there. It is a melting pot of cultures there. So there's lots of people that come across the borders to work and then go home. So as you can imagine, being in the middle of France, Germany, and Belgium, there's all kinds of ideals, religious views, and things like that. So the church is reaching out in the best way that they can, and we're just going to come alongside Antonio and continue that work with them. So thank you for allowing us to be here and share a little bit about where we're going. And Camila's going to share a report about where we've been. We just want you to know how much we appreciate you and the local churches here in the U.S. We are not there alone. We go because we are sent by the churches here, and we are just an extension of you. So we're also doing what you're doing here, just a little bit further away. So we really are thankful for the churches here that support us, pray for us, and all you do for missions, all your giving that you do to Alabaster, to the World Evangelism Fund, and all the involvement you have in the Global Nazarene Church. It's a wonderful organization that supports its missionaries well, and that is you. You are the church. You are part of that, and you are doing the work there and in Africa and globally. So we're all connected, and we're all doing this together as a church. So thank you. Thank you for your support and prayers. And feel free to grab one of our prayer cards. And when you think about us, pray for us there in Luxembourg. And we'd really like to hear from you. If you would like to shoot us an email, our email's on there. So we are just looking forward to staying connected with the churches and the people we meet here and sharing about our ministry there. So thanks again for having us, and I'll let Camilo come on.
Alrighty. Can you guys hear me from here?
Yeah.
Can you hear me from here? I just feel if I speak from here, you're like, you're so far away. That's how it feels like. Is that okay if with your permission, if I stand somewhere over here? You guys can hear me good? All right. Well, thank you for having us this evening. Really, it's a privilege every time that we have the opportunity to speak to the churches. Try to bring a little bit of encouragement, but also a little bit of a rapport of what you guys have been doing around the world. And you're probably thinking, I don't remember even getting out of the country like in the last year. But sometimes you don't even have to do that, you know, to be a part of something greater than ourselves. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, but in the past two, three years, every time that you turn the news to the news, all you see is bad news. And it doesn't matter what channel you click on, it's going to be bad news. And if they are not, we're really good making them bad. So, I wanted to bring a little bit of balance to that. Because even though there's bad news up there, there is good news too. God is doing amazing things around the world through His people.
Amen.
You know, I don't know how many of you have been disappointed. Probably all of you. All of us, at one point in our life, been disappointed before. And we've been discouraged. And probably sometimes we were betrayed. One way or another. Other times we probably got taken advantage of. Your goodness, your good heart, somebody took advantage of it. And sometimes these experiences that we live in life tend to hold us back. It kind of changes the attitude, our attitude, and how we see people, and how we see the world, and how we actually receive the call of God in our life. It does. It affects us. It affects us emotionally, affects us mentally, physically many times. There are some of us that sometimes look at the news in the morning, and by the time we look at the news, we don't even want to go to work because we are so depressed. But we cannot deny that affects us. It sometimes affects the call that God has put in our life and how we move forward with that call. But this evening, I want to show you a few things that you have done around the world, and particularly in a country named Equatorial Guinea. It's a country that speaks Spanish, the only Spanish-speaking country in Africa. Okay? So, if you can go ahead and push play, that right there is a school. It's a national school. Over 1,000 children go to that school. Okay? And you probably didn't know that, but that classroom right there, that's the brightest you're going to see. It's very dark. And the children go there every day, or used to go there every day, in the dark, practically. So, I don't know if you're really good writing in the dark and reading in the dark, but for me, that will give me a headache. So, but people like you heard about this need, sent resources to Equatorial Guinea, to their missionaries there, which were us at that time, and we were able to bring light. For some people, that probably seems like it's no big deal, but it's a big deal because now you can even see that the classrooms are dirty. Right? So it's a dual purpose thing. Now they can read and write, and then the people can see the dirt and they can clean it. But you're a part of that. That right there is a well. And in the rainy season, you can get plenty of water out of that well. But when there's no rain, there's no water. Water table goes down. Now, you can imagine in the middle of a pandemic, over 1,000 children trying to go to school and not be able to have plenty of water to wash your hands and flush the two half toilets they have in there. It's a little bit complicated. But people like you heard about this need, decided to send resources for that school, and we were able to build a water tower, put a tank, put a pump water up there. But the thing is, the children couldn't drink that water because it has too much bacteria. Eventually, we got the city to bring running water from the city, which it comes once a week, but it's enough water that the children can drink. It's not a safer water to drink, but it's better than the well water. So now the school have water from the city, running water from the city, and when they don't have during the week water from the city, they can use the well to pump water, to wash hands, and flush the toilets. But that happened only because of people like you. And in a little bit, you're going to see another picture in there, and there's a room. It is a room that the only thing, that right there, when we got there, that room, all it had was just junk. That room was really good to collect junk. So when we arrived there, and because of the wonderful offering that you're probably very familiar with, the alabaster offering, right? Some of us always, you know, very faithful to the alabaster, to bring the offering from the alabaster offering, and we probably never had the opportunity what actually this offering does. What it does for people? Well, you are going to see in those pictures what it does. The alabaster offering transformed a room that was only good to collect trash and junk into a room that can bring transformation in the life of the people in the church in Equatorial Guinea. At that time that we were remodeling that room, Sarah was working in a partnership. Because as I told you, Equatorial Guinea is the only country that speaks Spanish, so it's very hard to get educational material in the language, especially theological material. So by the end that we finished that room, that partnership was already done, and the students now are in their second year of theological studies. There is about close to 14 people in that classroom, and they can receive now Spanish theological classes through Zoom or virtual classes, and in 4 or 5 years, they will be receiving a bachelor's degree in theology. Wonderful thing. But that's what alabaster does. Those pictures that you're seeing there is the product of a big explosion that happened in the country while we were living in there. We were about 1.5 miles from the explosion, and our house was shaken twice by the blast. A lot of people lost their life. Thousands got wounded. Thousands lost a lot of their little houses, businesses, because of the blast of the explosion. And thank you for the wonderful ministry that exists in the church, Nazarene Compassion Ministry, which probably some of you know what that is. The church was able to send resources to Equatorial Guinea, and the local church there was able to be in action and show love, the love of Christ, to their community. We were able to donate clothes. We were able to adopt 40 families and give them every week a bag of grocery until they can get on their own feet. We were able to donate mattresses because a lot of them lost everything, everything. We were able to donate construction materials so they can actually redo the roof. Many of them lost their roof. Windows were broken, doors were blown away. So that happened, including that. That's right there is medical supplies. Because there were so many people that were coming so fast into the hospital that the hospital was running out of medical supplies. So through National Compassion Ministry, we were able to donate medical supplies to the hospital so they can take care of these people that were wounded by the explosion. But these things only happen because of the faithfulness and the obedience of God's people. See, we cannot deny that there are negative things happening around the world. Absolutely. But what we cannot allow is that this negativity affect how we do God's work in our communities. So we have two choices. We can take all of these disappointment that we see and negativity and hold ourselves back from what God is calling us to do, or we cross the line, the other side of the line, and we do what God calls us to do. See, when you call missionaries to come and share in your churches, what do you think I'm going to talk about? We're going to talk about missions. We're going to talk about missions because we believe in missions. See, that you see in the pictures, a little report right there, is because of missions. It's a result. You get to impact people that you have never seen before. You probably will never have the opportunity to see any of those faces there. But you know they have impacted them. And you know that because of your faithfulness and your obedience, God takes that and does wonderful things. We can't stay behind in our disappointments and discouragement. We got to uphold the other side of the line. See, we have to do mission because mission is important to God. From the beginning, since the man fall, God is trying to reconcile man to himself. And just to let you know, that's you too. See, this mission was so important to God that he gave the most precious thing to, that was for him. That was Jesus Christ, his son. He was willing to give his own son for this mission, to reconcile you to him. That's what we should do, missions. That's why you will hear missionaries speak about missions in the morning for breakfast and for lunch, for dinner, and before we go to bed. Because we believe in that. We see the transformation that the gospel brings into people's lives. If I were to ask you, what do you do mission? What do you do good things for people? And probably some people would say, well, I don't have nothing better to do, so that's why I do it. You would be surprised as if you're here. Why do you do mission? Why do you do good things for people? Well, because that's the right thing to do. I guess it's a good answer. But it goes way deeper than that. We do mission because mission is important to God. See, when we say God and Jesus is our Lord, man, that means a lot. That means more than just one phrase. When we say Jesus is Lord of all, Jesus is Lord of us. So if God is Lord of all, Jesus is Lord of all, and mission is important to God, then mission should be important to us. Mission is so important. And we should be doing mission because Jesus thinks that mission is important. Jesus came to this world to die for you. He was sent on a mission by his Father. And he went to speak to people that no one wanted to speak to. He went to places that no one wanted to go. He was betrayed by his closest one to him. He was disappointed, he was sad, and yet he died on the cross, and while he was there hanging on the cross, he was praying for you and me. So why would you do missions? Why should we speak of the gospel? Because it's important to Jesus. And to the point that he was willing to lay down his life for you, so you can be here sitting down and listening for his word and praising. That's why we should do missions. That's why mission is important. See, we do mission, and we should do missions, because missions is the only way, and the only hope that the lost have. You are a witness of what missions can do. You are a result of missions, because it's through mission that the gospel travels through. There used to be an agnostic professor in the Fiji Islands. And probably some of you know the Fiji Islands were known for cannibalism. And this agnostic professor was telling one of the chief of that island, and chief, I really like you. I think you're a cool guy. But the only thing that just kind of bothers me is that you have allowed these missionaries to influence you in your island. Nobody believes about that Jesus came into the world and died for our sin. That stuff is all story. Nobody believes that anymore. I can't believe you allow these missionaries to influence you and change your mind about that stuff. Then the chief looked at him and said, you know, do you see that rock right there? I said, yeah, I see the rock. That's what we used to smash the head of our victims. And the furnace is right beside it. That's where we used to cook them. And it would have been for the missionaries that came and brought the message that transformed our life, my life, and the island, you would have been our next meal. But see, I guarantee you that for the agnostic professor, missions means something different now. And I guarantee you that professor was very appreciative of those missionaries. But I guarantee you too, that for that chief in that island, the words that we find in Romans that say beautiful are the feet that bring the words of good news, it became real to him. It became real because those missionaries were beautiful to him. Because the message that those missionaries brought into his island, into his life, transformed his life. And I guarantee you that many of you think that way too. Those people that came before and witnessed to you, so you can become to know Jesus Christ. So your life was transformed. So we do missions, and we should be doing missions because it's important to our Father. We should be doing missions because mission is important to Jesus. We need to give his life for you. We should be doing missions because it's the hope of the lost. And we should be doing missions because mission is the health of the church. And I can prove that to you if you want me to say scientifically. I can prove to you right now that mission is the health of a church. If that wasn't for missions, no one would be in this place. But you're here. You're here. Because you're our result of the gospel being shared. So remember the person that came and shared the gospel to you? Thank the Lord for their obedience. Thank the Lord because mission was important to them. That's why we do missions. That's why we do things like that for people that you will never know. When you collect alabaster, and you had no idea what this actually alabaster thing, you kind of wonder, what is going on? Where this money goes to? That's what it goes to. It brings transformation in people's lives, even though we don't know them. You go and help people that are victims of explosions like that, tragedy like that. But we cannot do that if you're not in it. We are God's hands and feet. That's what it means. God is in this mission, and he wants us to be a part of his mission. I don't know about you, but I know that God is a king. And when the king asks you to do something, I think that's a privilege. I guarantee you that, you know, it doesn't matter who the president of the United States is at the moment or the past, when they ask you to do something, you would have seen that as a privilege. So let me tell you that the king of these presidents that we have here in this earth is way higher and more important than any president that you will ever have in this earth. And that king is asking you to go. He's telling you, go and make disciples. Because that is my plan. And I want you to be a part of that plan. He didn't ask the angels. The angels are supposed to be a little bit higher than us. And God is asking us to go. What a privilege. And sometimes we think of that nothing. That's a big deal. Especially when you know what the gospel did in your life. Especially when you know the transformation that the gospel brought into your heart. And you know what is interesting? That this gospel that we have to share, this news, we don't have to make it up. We don't have to invent it. It's already done. All you have to do is take it, be faithful, and give it faithfully. And you know that you don't have to go to Equatorial Guinea to do that. You don't have to go to Cape Verde or Venezuela or any other country. You can do that here in your community. Because that is where missions start. We are in other countries because mission is starting in our local church. So God is calling you in your community to bring transformation to people's lives. Every day we hear about, you know, depression. We hear about suicides. We hear about people that are desperate. and we have a message that can bring transformation in people's lives. We know what God did for his mission. He gave the most precious thing to him. We know what Christ did for missions. He gave his own life. What are you and I doing? God wants to use you. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. If maybe you are thinking about retirement, there is no retirement. There is no retirement. When we go ahead, we can take all the time we want. But right now, it's so much we can do. It's so much that God wants us to do. We have a wonderful message that we should deliver to people. And we have to be faithful with it. We have to be obedient with it. And we have to give whatever it takes to make it happen. You've been equipped with something so wonderful, and that is the presence of the Holy Spirit in you. What else do we want? Right? We have the most powerful thing within. Because God knew that we would need it. So now we just have to go. Don't think, oh, I'm too old, I can't do, you know, what I used to. I used to when I was younger. Man, you have so much experience today. If I would have my way, really, I would take all the retired missionaries. I would take all the retired pastors. Come and work with me. Come and work with me. I can do a lot of things with that experience. It's time for those that already walk a long way with the Lord to mentor those that haven't yet. We need to mentor more. We need to discipleship more. There's so much that God wants to do through your life, unto your last breath. So that's why we do missions. And that's what mission is, speak mission for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner, and before we go to bed. Because it's important to God. It is important to Jesus. It is the hope of the lost, and it's the help of a church. Do you want to grow? And in numbers, do missions in your communities, around your family members, in your schools. You have a wonderful message. And it will not return empty. We want to thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your obedience. Thank you for praying for your missionaries. Thank you for giving so your missionaries stay in the field. Without you, we cannot stay in the field. Sarah and Camilo and his family didn't decide one morning, hey, let's just go to our country. The church sent us. The church that God is using to touch people's lives sent us. And you are a part of that church. So we count on you to do the work in that side while you do the work in this side. We are working together as the families of God. So we want to thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Remember us when you see those prayer cards, put it in your refrigerators, because sometimes money cannot solve the problems that prayer can. Yes. So if you can commit to something, commit to prayer. Pray for your missionaries. Pray for your pastors, for your Sunday school teachers, for the people that are trying to minister around this town. Because there is a fight that's going on. So remember us. Remember us in your prayers. Your prayers are not in vain. Your resources that you share, they don't go in vain. They go to change people's lives. That's why. So we wanted to bring not just a little report, but we want to bring encouragement to you. And we want to remind you, just in case you forgot, that God still has a plan for you.
Amen.
On to the last breath. Right? You can bring change into somebody's life. Somebody. You could be mentoring somebody. So thank you so much, and may the Lord bless you. Hopefully we get the opportunity to share with you the next time that we're around these areas. So God is still doing wonderful things. He wants to use you. He wants to use me. And that is a privilege. And we have to see it that way. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. That's very interesting. I've got to stand back here. Thank you very much, Camille. We have, if you have an offering for the Gonzaleses, you can put it in the basket back there, and we'll take care of that. Just make it out to West Side. And speaking of missions, this Saturday we have our mission to the trailer park, which seems like a little thing. But I had a lady call me yesterday at, like, I don't know, 8 at night or something. That is very, I didn't catch her name, but she was very excited that we were going to come take her junk away. I didn't catch her name, but she was very thankful that we would do something like this for her. And thanked me several times for taking her junk. And we haven't even taken it yet. So I hope to see as many people as we can on Saturday, and that should be a lot of fun. We have some desserts because we probably didn't eat enough for dinner or something. So we close in prayer and then can eat some desserts. Lord, thank you for the mission that you have entrusted us with, the privilege that we have of sharing your good news, your good message to the world, Lord, and helping to reconcile man to you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunities that you give us in our schools, in our work, in the trailer park, and side of our church, Lord, and around the world, in Luxembourg, and Venezuela, and Cape Verde, and wherever, Lord. Antarctica came up today. That's probably where they're going after Luxembourg. Thank you, Lord, for the love that you have for the world, Lord, and help us not forget the hope that we have in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Camilo, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Would you, in 5 minutes or less, would you tell us how the Lord called you into ministry?
Yes.
It's like you were done.
No, you guys are more welcome to ask questions.
Really?
We love that. So, you know, just to give you a little bit, going back when I was a little bit over 8 years old, a guy came to a neighbor's house, and we were playing with the kids. He had a lot of kids, so I was friends with them. And he came. I had no idea who he was, but he was an evangelist, you know, guy. And he came into the house kind of like unexpected, and probably the neighbor knew him or whatever. But he came, and I want to have a Bible study with you guys. So everybody kind of, you know, ran up the chairs, and I hid behind the wall because I didn't want nothing to do with that. So my dad was atheist, and then he died when I was like 7 and a half, and I didn't want nothing to do with God. But this guy, after he finished his Bible study, saw me sneaking, snooping behind the wall to see if he was already gone, but he wasn't yet. And he got, you know, my dad, hey, come here, come here. And he put his hand over my shoulder and said, I just want to let you know that God has a great plan for your life. Yeah. And he prayed for me. And I felt something that I was a kid, I didn't, thought too much about it. At least it's what I thought. But it helped me for a long time. Through my teenager years, I accepted Jesus like 7 times. I remember, I lived a travel teenager life, did all kinds of different things, and even my mom didn't even know that I did. But it was really through the life of missionaries. There was a missionary couple, their names are Craig and Gail Sikifus. And they were missionaries in Venezuela at that time. And when I was about 13, 14 years old, I was looking into the gate to see what Craig was doing. He was welding, and he got tired of looking at me, looking at me, watching him. And he said, come in, just give me a hand. And that was it. I started helping him on and off because I was still in high school. And a few years later, they invited me to come and live with them. And I volunteered until the day that I met my wife, through our work awareness team that came from her church. And that's how it's been since I was a teenager. I've been really serving the Lord because it is a privilege. So, yeah, when I tell you that it's important to mentor someone, it is important to mentor someone.
Yeah. Does someone mentor you?
Yes. And so many years later, we went to the mission field to do work of witness, which it was what Craig and Gail was doing in Minnesota. So, we need to mentor more young people.
Need more work of witness trips.
Yes. Absolutely. Anybody had the opportunity to make one of those trips, at least one in your life, you should.
Yeah.
You should.
So what caused the explosion? Yes.
Officially, what the official said is that a container for fertilizer was put into a place where the military armory was, where they keep all the missiles and rockets and stuff like that. And some lady was burning trash, and the container got hot and blew up. And when it blew up, got very hot, the top of the concrete where they keep all the stuff under. And there were rockets and stuff all night long flying everywhere.
Okay.
So, yes. So that's the future version.
Yeah. I can just imagine.
Interesting.
Oh, yes.
It's so interesting they would put all that fertilizer near all the palms and
bristles. Yes.
On
purpose.
So how did you come to go on a work and witness trip to find Mr. Wonderful here?